You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
China's not an enemy, and I think that's important for people to clearly understand. China is a rising power. We're seeing a significant increase in Chinese military capabilities over the last 10 to 20 years, and they are going to develop themselves and are developing themselves into a great power. That is not to say, however, that they are an enemy.
They are not an enemy. That's according to General Milley back in 2015. This is September the 17th, 2021. Again, that remark was from General Milley in 2015. And, of course, more recent developments have a report, according to a book by Bob Woodward and a co-author, that General Milley had two separate conversations with his Chinese counterpart before the November election, and another conversation shortly after the January 6th so-called insurrection, as the left wants to call it all the time. That's not insurrection. Let them have their word game, have their fun with it. It was wrong. It's unpatriotic. Those that took an active part in it should be prosecuted. Others who just wandered in, didn't know what was going on. But you've got members of Congress saying those that took part in that January 6th thing are worse than the Taliban. And yet here is General Milley saying in 2015, China is not an enemy. Now, maybe let's give him the benefit. Maybe he's just trying to do a good PR spin because we don't want them to get upset with us. As if it would make them more upset and have less interest in world dominion if we said they're very good people. And the people are. But we're talking about the Chinese Communist government. That's the issue. That's the enemy. We're going to get into this in more detail. And, of course, in the midst of all this, we still have the Afghan debacle that's going on. And for all this reason, between what happened with Afghanistan and not getting all of our Americans out, how many Americans are still there, you ask? I don't know. We're not being told by the State Department, the White House, the Pentagon, because they don't know. They don't know either. And when it comes to vetting the Afghans that we're bringing into the country, that's not working either. Because they've even admitted, Secretary of State Blinken, we will vet them after they arrive in the U.S. That's kind of stupid and a little late, don't you think? But Biden is glad to have all this noise about General Milley and that Bob Woodward book, anything to distract from what's going on with Afghanistan and what he did wrong. Also, how he's now beginning to punish red states if they're not pushing his vaccine mandates. That's right. How's he doing that? Well, they are shutting off the delivery of the anti-monoclonal bodies, shutting them down to states that need them, and that we're going to rely on them. They're just flat deciding that, you know what, if you're not going to follow my vax mandate, we'll shut down all your shipments of monoclonal antibody treatments, or at least a major part of them. People could suffer and die from that. Biden doesn't care. It's punishing red states and the unvaxxed. There's more talk of vax documentation existing in the U.S. that you have to have a proof and a legitimate something, not just on a piece of paper. And then you've got members on the left side, the state-controlled media, saying maybe we need to treat the unvaxxed, not just shame them, but treat them like DUI, drunk drivers. There's no concern at all about some of the new fears that some people are seeing with the vaccination, especially for women, pregnant women. Dr. Rick Layman is going to join us a little bit later, head of the U.S. Center for Medical Sports Science. Going to talk about the latest on the vaccinations and some of the concerns, and of course the testimony that took place between Olympians before Congress yesterday, talking about how the FBI ignored their cries that they were being molested at the time by Dr. Nasser, the U.S. Olympics coach, and more Democrat hypocrisy. A Chicago crime story is going to have you shaking your head, I promise. But I also promise to end today on something that will give you a smile. Maybe. It's funny, but it's not so funny. You have to be the judge of this one. I think it's worth a smile, even though it's a fact that it's true and it's not so funny. I'll explain. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Every day, it's something new with these people in the Biden administration. I mean, they literally want to punish and control everybody that doesn't do what they want them to do. Let me tell you what this is. This is the Biden administration punishing Florida. And they're saying to Florida and states like Florida, oh yeah, you're not going to have mandates. You're not going to do what we want you to do. Well, then guess what? We're going to cut off your antibody treatment and your access to them. This is ridiculous. This is outrageous. People see it for what it is. These people are completely out of control. I don't know what we can do about it in Congress, but I'm going to start looking at it because this stuff needs to stop. These people are bordering now on tyranny, and it's outrageous. It has to stop.
I think he nailed it. Those are the words of Senator Marco Rubio of Florida. He said they're bordering on tyranny. It has to stop. We've got to continue. We've got to just say enough, enough. You can only push so far. So what is he talking about? Well, it was announced by the Biden administration, and of course, Governor DeSantis is also saying this is, we're going to fight it tooth and nail. We're going to do what we can to take care of our citizens. But Biden has decided that they're going to restrict shipments of the monoclonal antibody treatments for coronavirus to southern states. Now, there's a big demand in the southern states, red states primarily, where many residents still not vaccinated because they don't want to be vaccinated or for whatever reason. And it can also be used for those who are vaccinated but still contracted the virus. Under the Biden order, the Department of Health and Human Services now restricting shipments of that treatment, the monoclonal antibody treatments, to Florida and other states. In fact, Florida requested 70,000 doses. They're going to get less than 31,000. The response from Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, we're very, very concerned with the Biden administration and this abrupt, sudden announcement. They're going to dramatically cut our number. He said, you're going to cut these even as we face a likely surge in coronavirus cases in the fall and winter months? And, of course, as you heard, Senator Rubio also condemning it, and rightly so. Then when you begin to see how they're treating states and governors, red states, that don't like the Biden mandate that you have to be vaccinated, you're going to see a direct correlation. I mean, if you were plotting a crime, this is exactly what you would do. You would fix your target, make all your plans for it, and then execute. They are reducing the number of the monoclonal antibody infusion treatments for COVID-19 in red states by 50%. They're claiming, well, we need to have a more equitable distribution. That's their storyline, and they're sticking to it. Among those states, Florida, as I mentioned, Alabama, Tennessee, Texas, oh my God, every one of them red states, every one of those state governors have said, we're not going to mandate like the president wants that everybody has to be vaccinated. We're not going to have our companies, our businesses, our schools, and so forth follow a mandate that you have to have a vaccination and a documentation. This is exactly as Senator Rubio was suggesting. More tyranny. And they want to know why so many Americans are upset. Well, they know why. But now they're going to use it as a hammer, and they're going to continue to use it over and over again, anything they can to make sure that you pay the punishment for whatever your state leaders do in a red state. And you, if you're non-vaccinated, you don't care to get vaccinated, either because of religious reasons or maybe your own doctor said, no, that's not a good idea. Oh, and there's also been a proposal that if you don't have a vaccination and if you don't have documentation, and even after you had the vaccination, we might still restrict you flying. That's right, getting on a plane and flying. You think I'm joking? Of course I'm not joking. Here's Senator Rand Paul, Republican, Kentucky.
If we now disagree in our personal medical decisions with the left, they're going to declare that we're a terrorist and that we can't fly. But even on the practicality of it, even if you said, okay, we're going to do this, even the CDC says you're not supposed to get vaccinated if you've been infected within 3 months. So what are we going to do? Tell people they can't fly for 3 months, even according to the CDC?
Yeah. Because when they say follow the science, I've stressed this to you repeatedly. I'll do it again, and as often as I need to, and you're welcome to repeat it. They are not talking about following medical science. They're talking about the political science. And believe me, I know. I have a BS degree. Oh, you knew that, didn't you? You knew I had a BS degree. No, you're thinking, no, it's not. It is. I'm from Texas. I would, of course, naturally have a BS degree. But I actually do have a BS degree in political science. And I recognize it, and so do you. You don't have to have a degree in political science to recognize what's medical science, what's political science. Let me give you another example. Here's a Dr. Leanna Nguyen. She is a Washington Post contributing columnist. So that tells you already where she's leaning. She's also a CNN analyst, so you know she's got to be on that side of the state-controlled media. And she, if you just want to add one more little tidbit to it, she's the former head of Planned Parenthood. So here's what she's saying we should need to start doing. If you are going to be among the unvaxxed, here's her suggestion.
We need to start looking at the choice to remain unvaccinated the same as we look at driving while intoxicated. That you have the option to not get vaccinated if you want, but then you can't go out in public. Because when you go out in public, you have the potential of infecting other people with a potentially deadly disease. Just like you can choose to drink in private if you want, but if you get behind the wheel of a car and can endanger other people, there is an obligation by society to prevent you from doing that.
You know, there is no real correlation. There is none. But they don't care. They don't question. They don't push back because they're on a state-controlled media outlet. And they're there because they know they're not going to be challenged on that. They're just going to go ahead and say, yeah, we'll just treat every unvaccinated person is like a drunk driver. Yesterday, I ran some clips from Don Lemon, fruitcake of CNN and NNN, and he was saying, let's shame the unvaxxed. They should be shamed. We should call them out. Maybe they're going to put a red mark on our forehead, the mark of to show that you're unvaxxed. The scarlet letter, as it were. Anything to point out that you're a stupid person because you will not get vaccinated. Because their science says you have to be vaccinated. Well, let's back this up for just a second. Let me figure this one out. Originally, when COVID reports surfaced, of course, the World Health Organization, in cooperation with the Chinese Communist government, and possibly in connection and understanding and endorsement of Dr. Fauci, said that COVID's not a big deal. It's nothing to it. Nothing to worry about. No big deal. And when it hit our shores, Dr. Fake said, don't worry. It's going to be like a flu, nothing else. Don't worry about it. And then mask? No, I wouldn't bother getting masks. They're not going to do you any good. Forget a mask. And then later admitted he lied on that point, but said I did it because I wanted to make sure we had enough masks for our frontline workers. Well, certainly we should. But, Dr. Fake, you've been heading up the National Institutes of Health and Infection for some time. Why did you not already make sure enough masks were ready for your frontline workers in the event something like this should happen? Do you not plan some kind of scenario like that? Or you just sit back and do nothing? Which is what you did. And then, of course, say, if you don't want to wear the mask, get vaccinated. Then you won't have to wear the mask. Oh, but you get vaccinated. Nope, you still have to wear the mask. And then, of course, you've got President Biden coming out the other day and saying, my patience is worn thin, and if you haven't been vaccinated, I'm fed up with it. We're going to start making you wear the mask and get vaccinated. We're going to demand it. It will be a mandate. And that's where, as we say, the rubber hits the road. Because while they're mandating and telling you to do that, against that backdrop, we're bringing in Afghans. I hope most of them are truly legitimate asylum seekers and that we're helpful to our U.S. forces and allied forces when we were in Afghanistan, because we made a promise to take care of them. But I fear that we're not vetting them correctly, and we're getting a lot in there that might be actual Taliban or Al-Qaeda or ISIS. But they're not vaccinating them either, necessarily. And in fact, the members of the House the other day, Democrats, voted against a bill demanding that every Afghan coming in had to be vaccinated. No, I don't want to do that. And the same thing for the illegals coming across our border. They're not vaccinating them down there. They cannot even keep control of it right now. It is a massive chaos. It is a crisis. I know the Biden administration doesn't like the word, but that's exactly what it is. Listen to this report from Fox News.
For the past several months now, we've heard the Biden administration claim that progress, extreme progress, has been made down here at the border, but that's just not squaring up with what we're seeing on the ground. This is just a horrible situation down there, and our border agents need a lot of help. Consider yesterday morning, there were only 4,000 migrants under that bridge. Now I'm told it's well over 10,000. So in a span of just over 24 hours, those numbers have doubled, and it's not getting any better. Those migrants keep streaming across. They just walk across the Rio Grande on a dam. They walk a dirt path, and more are showing up to that bridge by the hour. It's getting worse by the day, literally by the hour.
It's estimated that it's 8,000 to 10,000, and many of them are Haitians. Oh, and one other thing. The FAA suddenly decided to put up a rule you can't fly a drone over that area, because that's how many of the news networks, particularly Fox, were getting widespread images to show how massive it was. Put a drone up over it. So the FAA said, no, 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 you might be distracting from Border Patrol activities. That's a lie, and you know it. In the meantime, the push against Americans continues if you don't follow vaccination rules. Seattle, the county government oversees Seattle and other areas, now requiring that you have to show COVID-19 vax documentation in our restaurants, gyms, and other businesses, just like they already do in New York City, New Orleans, San Fran, L.A. County. Louisiana State University starting to unenroll students who are not fully officially documented as vaccinated. And it is true, a Florida landlord who owns 8 apartment complexes telling tenants, if you're not vaccinated, can't prove it, you'll be evicted. I thought you weren't supposed to be evicted right now. Oh, no, if you have a vax, if you're not being vaccinated, we can. We'll find out about that. More on the Afghans coming to America when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
In 2010, one Bitcoin was less than a dime. Today, one Bitcoin is almost $50,000. Now, why is it predicted to go over $1 million per coin? Sign up for classes at the first Crypto World Store in St. Charles, the very first crypto store offering crypto education. Details at firstcryptoworld.com. Firstcryptoworld.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
While we were in that break, I saw a story that just crossed. I told you a moment ago that around the Del Rio, Texas area, that the illegals that have gathered along the Texas border, just waiting for Border Patrol to come along and pick them up and take them into the states to, quote, process them, had gone from 4,000, I mentioned, or the Fox report did the other day, to 8,000 last night. And now they're saying it's over 12,000. And it's still growing. And they're not treating them for COVID. They're not testing. They're not vaccinating. And then, of course, we have Afghans we're bringing in that deserve asylum if they worked and supported our troops, the allies, during the war over the last 20 years. We honor our promise. They are true asylum seekers, because the Taliban will kill them if they get hold of them. But how many of them are we bringing in? What are we doing to vet and also make sure that they are properly vaccinated? Well, first of all, let's look at the numbers. Biden has planned to resettle almost 100,000 Afghans across the U.S. over the next 12 months. They've already, from August to September, brought in 48,000. They're going to be above 100,000, believe me. And they're going to settle them, apparently, across 46 states right now, according to the numbers they gave the AP. California's going to get the most, 5,255. Texas, nearly 4,500. They're definitely going to put as many Afghans as they can in battleground and swing states such as Arizona, Florida, Georgia, and Texas. Well, they can't vote. Well, legally they can't vote. but they're also putting them there that in the future, when they can vote, that they'll remember the Democrats brought them to the country. I'm looking at these swing states where they're going to be putting them. They're going to put 1,600 in Arizona, about 1,000 in Colorado, more than 1,000 in Georgia and in Florida. As I said, 4,400 in Texas. Few states, few deep states, Washington, Connecticut, New York, Oregon will also get some. Biden administration said everybody we talk to, any governor, they're all happy. They'll be glad to help. And we are, if it's people that really need to be resettled and they are asylum seekers and they helped us. But what they're really trying to do at this point is readjust population and political power. That's what they're doing here. This has nothing to do with really what's going on as far as taking care of the people. None of them are going to be put into Hawaii, South Dakota, West Virginia, Wyoming. Montana Congressman Rosedale said, you're to settle them in countries closest to Afghanistan with similar languages and cultures. Help them out. That would be better for them. You know where they're not going to put any? They're not going to put any Afghans into Washington, D.C. None. Zippo. I told you previously, if for all the D.C. Democrats are up there right now complaining and insisting we need more illegals to come across and open borders, we are to take all of them and house them in D.C. or in the Hollywood area. And then see how loudly they cry out. And then when it comes to traditional vetting for the Afghans, it supposedly is a 14-step procedure that takes more than a year. So evacuating 100,000 or more Afghans in a matter of weeks, can you imagine any way you can properly vet those folks? Well, that is a big question. And I've got a guest coming up to deal with how they're being vetted, the threat if we're bringing in Al-Qaeda and terrorists hidden in their ranks. Retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood with the Heritage Foundation. Coming up next. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned, Ackerman Toyota, for life.
And we're down, we go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My next guest we've had on numerous times before. Always glad to welcome him back. That'd be retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, serving our nation for 20 years in the U.S. Marines, now with the Heritage Foundation, an expert on defense programs and national security. Glad to have you aboard, sir. Semper Fi.
Always a blessing to be with you. Thanks.
I do want to point out to the audience, because it'd be too obvious if we didn't say it. I'm not going to discuss the General Smiley. I want to say Smiley. I laugh every time I say it. It is my fault. General Milley report it in the Bob Woodward book and his comments, because it borders on the political, and Heritage does not really like to try to get in the political. They want to deal more with the facts of what we got in front of us. So we'll have to wait and let that story play.
Look at policies and consequences, we'll go wherever you want.
Okay. Sure. Well, again, I try to adhere. I did tell your people that we wouldn't get into that in that detail because I know you generally don't. But I am concerned, before you joined us, I am concerned about, we've got 100,000, Biden estimates 100,000 Afghans. Mm-hmm. I think the number's going to be higher than that, because we already had almost 45,000 to 55,000 brought in the first 60, 90 days recently.
Right.
How are we possibly vetting that they are true members of the Afghan community who were helping our troops and we don't have terrorists embedded in their midst?
Well, this is why they're going to be in these military facilities for upwards of a year, because it's almost impossible to do that. So I had lunch with a good friend of mine who has connections in various other governments, as well as the military, DHS, Department of Justice. Another colleague of mine, a retired Air Force officer, has talked with people who are part of those C-17 crews flying these things out. And these are the stories that are coming out, where the C-17 clears Afghan airspace, and while one of the crewmen are walking the length of the aircraft, somebody taps him on the shoulder and then hands him an AK-47, right? Aircraft that were landing in Ramstein Air Base in Germany.
I'm sorry. You say they got an AK-47 on board that plane?
Oh, it gets worse.
Okay,
so
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Ramstein, and it's the first opportunity for U.S. personnel to actually look through bags, and they're finding sidearms, you know, revolvers and pistols and these sorts of things. About a third of the people that were evacuated out of Kabul had any kind of relationship with a special immigrant visa status or some kind of known contractor relationship on that. The other two-thirds were people who were shop owners and whomever else in Kabul that had a piece of paper that looked like it had an official stamp on it, and they just made their way, were able to gain access to the airfield. And in this mad rush to evacuate as many people as they could, they were just cramming people onto the aircraft. So no vetting occurred in Afghanistan. Normally, when you vet somebody, you go back to official records, you know, talk with the government, do they have a criminal record, you know, whatever it might be. Well, the Taliban doesn't have anything like that. I mean, there is no government with which to work to find out whether a person who is now in the United States has some kind of a credible case to make. At the long run, perhaps they could provide a name or maybe a unit that they worked with or some evidence of having supported U.S. military personnel. And you could start going down that path and they, you know, call Colonel Smith or Sergeant Jones and can you vouch for this person?
Right, right.
But absent that, it's just going to be a madhouse, absolute madhouse.
And we agree that if they were helping us, we promise it would take mm-hmm. care of them, protect them and their families, and they are legitimate cases for asylum. I'm all for that.
Yes.
But I am worried right. about those that are mixing inside. That would include Taliban members themselves or Al-Qaeda or ISIS. We don't know.
Yeah. Right. So I've got a colleague here at Heritage who worked 10 years to get his U.S. citizenship. And yet you have people coming over the southern border, this, you know, 10,000 or whatever grouped under a bridge,
right.
and they get immediate access to American services, et cetera. So these are just analogous conditions where those who are most deserving of special handling by the United States, either in Afghanistan or coming out, appear to have the hardest time, the hardest challenge. You've got Afghan Christians who cannot reveal their religious convictions because the Taliban will just kill them. And if they're a Muslim, which they would have been, converted to Christianity, you know, the rule is you burn them, right? You know, so it's just an absolutely horrific situation. And we're not going to see this administration really do anything about it because the administration created a condition that gave the Taliban American hostages. So when we left Americans behind the lines, basically, that said to the Taliban that they can use that as leverage, right, for, you know, holding up humanitarian assistance, which they would use for terrorism, any kind of delegitimization of the government, branding the Taliban a terrorist organization. If the U.S. does that, then the Taliban has the option of further pursuing, you know, Americans who would just disappear, right, or somebody who was really in a special status trying to get out. So the very paperwork that an Afghan would use to prove that they should get visa status is the same paperwork that condemns them in the eyes of the Taliban. I mean, this is the situation that the Biden administration created.
I was going to bring up, obviously, that is a prime concern as well, as to how many Americans we have there. The State Department doesn't know. The White House doesn't know.
Right.
The Pentagon doesn't. They kind of say, oh, 100, maybe less. And then suddenly we're told we've got 60 or more Americans on planes that they're not allowed to leave at this point. So it's got to be more
right.
than that. And how many are hiding out? I mean, let me go back to Bagram Air Force Base. The decision to close Bagram Air Force Base before we got all Americans out, there went the air support for the Afghan forces in the field.
Yep.
And that's when Taliban was already marching across the country for weeks up to that point.
Yeah, well, you know, the administration decided to do this, to start this path way back in April. So you could have been evacuating people long since then. Again, you know, the context I've got said it was the State Department that had the lead in Afghanistan on these matters. And the State Department capped the number of personnel that could be in Afghanistan in these waning, you know, these final weeks. So if you're the unit commander, the senior military commander on the ground, and you have been given an upper limit as to how many personnel you can have, you then have to determine what you can actually do with 3,000 or 5,000, whatever that might be. And so they didn't have enough personnel to secure and operate the wonderful air base out at Bagram. They were then limited to dealing with the airfield outside of Kabul. So
I want to
move to the Washington, D.C. area. It's trading Dulles Airfield, right, with multiple runways, and choosing instead to work out of Washington National.
It makes no sense. And I want to know who made that decision, or did the generals tell Biden, don't do that, and he did it anyway?
Yeah. The Pentagon provided four or five very well thought out, methodical, coordinated plans about how to effect this withdrawal. The White House rejected every one of them and said the plan is we're going to evacuate American military personnel as fast as possible, clearly ahead of evacuating American citizens. So those decisions were made at the White House level.
One other thing. While we're talking about terrorists, the Biden administration still pushing to close down Gitmo, preparing to release even more from Gitmo. They want to shut it down.
Right.
And four members of the Taliban with close ties to Al-Qaeda, of course, were traded for Bergdahl, the deserter. And some of them are now serving in the Taliban leadership.
I thought they were going to go there
and grow potatoes and sit in the farms and do nothing.
So every administration since George W. Bush has wanted to close down Guantanamo. So it begs the question of why didn't it happen? And it has to do with the circumstances of how those people were captured, you know, on the battlefield, known terrorists. But is that evidence that can be used in a U.S. civilian or military court of law in the United States? If you bring them to the U.S., then our laws apply to how that case is handled. You know, are you revealing sensitive intelligence information? You know, could you make a compelling case to a jury in this normal sense? So it's a case where you know the person is really, really bad, but there are problems in prosecuting that case through a normal court system. And that's why Guantanamo has remained what it has been. So now if the Biden administration says military operations are over, we're not doing that anymore, it's all gone, what are the implications for then the legal case for keeping these people in Guantanamo Bay? So it's another consequence of the rushed action, not well thought out at all on behalf of the administration, that has created these sorts of problems. I mean, even processing people through Dulles Airport out here in the Northern Virginia area, the Department of Homeland Security took the people and sent them to another facility. All of the baggage was processed through a different facility. So can you imagine trying to match up 10,000 people with baggage hurriedly packed in Afghanistan? So one more example.
In our last 30 seconds, sir, you'd say they're going to be housed and stay at these facilities for a year until they're fully processed, but we've been told that, they can leave and go get an Uber and go anywhere they want, and they don't come back, who knows?
There's not a legal restriction because of the circumstances in which we're brought in to prevent their movement. So if you have a cell phone or you just want to walk off the base, there isn't a framework to prevent that from happening. But they still have to find employment, an apartment, and that sort of thing.
Right, if they want it. Dakota Wood, as always, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. Dakota Wood, 20 years with the U.S. Marines. Thank you, sir. COVID hypocrisy coming up. My personal choice for Italian food, Cafe Napoli. Now, sometimes I want steak, fish. Hey, try the sea bass. Perfect. plus a worldwide selection of wines. Cafe Napoli's mission is to serve you only the best. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now the streets of St. Charles. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So let's talk COVID hypocrisy for a moment. As I mentioned earlier, President Biden's decision to cut deliveries of monoclonal antibodies to southeastern states, primarily red states, even Politico pointing out this is really a punishment for red state governors who will not go along with the president's mandate that you have to be vaccinated. Politico says there is no shortage of Regeneron, which is the monoclonal antibody process. It's available. But Biden administration suddenly said, we're going to cut the supply going into these red states. Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, Tennessee, and Texas, all of them except for Louisiana, governed by Republicans. But here's another twist in the story. Texas, Georgia, and Florida are the three U.S. states with the largest number of black residents. Many black Americans have not gotten a vaccination. They don't want it. They fear it for whatever reason. And seven of the states, the ones I named, comprise more than 15 million black Americans. I thought Democrats were trying to prove we're all about protecting you and Black Lives Matter. Well, maybe not, because when you also look at the abortion rates, the CDC estimates black women make up anywhere from 14 to 16% of the childbearing population. 14 to 16%. Yet 36 to 40% of abortions are obtained by black women. Since Roe v. Wade went into effect, it's estimated almost 20 million black babies have been aborted. This decision to cut monoclonal antibodies to these red states is not just going to affect those governors and their politics. It's going to affect a lot of residents, and many of them, more than likely, will be black. But, of course, anytime you can find something that proves if you don't get a vaccination, it's all your fault. If you die, an Illinois family of a vaccinated woman who died of COVID-19 says her death could have been avoided if more people were vaccinated. Now, they don't know that for a fact, but they're just going to go ahead and say it. This woman was fully vaccinated in the spring, but then she got diagnosed with COVID-19 July 28. And so they're using it as a storyline to say she was vaccinated but was infected by others who chose not to be. Well, they don't know that she didn't get it from someone else who was vaccinated and one of the breakthrough cases, do they? No, they don't. And they're not going to bother checking for any details or facts because that would ruin the narrative. I am sorry for the woman's death and her family and their loss. And I'm sure they're heartbroken, but I cannot believe that they want to jump in there and claim the unvaccinated or the reason when there's no evidence. But they're convinced she got it from someone who's unvaccinated. She was vaccinated. She shouldn't have gotten it anyway, right? So how do you not know that someone else who was vaccinated got it and didn't know they had it, and then they gave it to her? Someone was vaccinated. You don't know, do you? No, of course not. But that would, again, ruin the narrative. And, of course, the left, the state-controlled media, is always protecting their view and their narrative. And, for instance, they were ignoring the best they can the San Francisco mayor, London Breed, and what she's been doing. The San Francisco mask mandate says everyone, including people who are fully vaccinated, must wear a well-fitted mask in indoor public settings at all times, except while actively eating or drinking. Well, there are pictures from the Black Cat Nightclub Instagram page that were posted and then quickly pulled down, but not before it was noticed. Here was Mayor San Fran Mayor Breed parting with a bunch of folks, BLM co-founder Alicia Garza, some singers, some other big-name personalities that they know, and they're all, you know, we are the special people. Drinks and cocktails on the table. She was not actively drinking, yet she had her mask off, posing for photos and singing. One gym owner said she clearly feels like it's fine and safe to remove her mask, but it has to be a rule for everyone else. See, that's the very thing that started the and gave so much life to the recall for Gavin Newsom. When he was shown in the French Laundry restaurant in Napa Valley, a very exclusive place, I can testify the bill was very big when I was there, long before COVID. But the elite left think the rule is for thee, not me. So is it possible that one of the persons that exposed the Illinois woman that led to her death was a Democrat who was not following masking rules, even though they were vaccinated? Of course, we don't know. The hypocrisy is a killer, literally, in some cases. Coming up, General Milley making a response to claims that he called China. But is it a denial? Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.